2015. But if he doesn't, and we go into 2015, I believe that many of us today are going to expect greater things in 2015. As a matter of fact, the Lord has on my heart to share a message today. Greater things seen in 2015. Greater things seen in 2015. Let's say that together. Greater things seen in 2015. Are you expecting God to do some greater things in your life? If you don't expect, then you're not going to gain anything. But I don't know about you, but I believe many of us here today are going to say, Lord, as we just sang a moment ago, Lord, I want a closer walk with you. How many want a closer walk with the Lord in 2015? Just like Enoch, he walked with God and he kept walking with God. And God said, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is yours. Come on home. I want a closer walk with the Lord in 2015. Do you? I want not only that, but I want to have the faith of Abraham. You know, the Bible says that Abraham believed God. How many want to have more faith in God in 2015? Abraham believed God. Abraham was imputed righteous because he was considered a friend of God. Oh, yes, greater things seen in 2015. What about Joseph? Joseph betrayed of his brothers. Joseph could have been bitter, but he didn't get bitter. He got better. He said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 15, verse 23, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. In 2015, I got a feeling there's going to be some of us that need to extend some love and forgiveness, perhaps maybe even before 2015. What about Moses? How about his leadership abilities? One of the greatest leaders that ever lived was Moses. I believe old Moses learned, any old bush will do as long as God is in it. No wonder he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose rather to be afflicted with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Are you going to be like Joshua? Joshua had courage. Do you want to have courage in 2015? Greater things seen in 2015. Remember, God came to Joshua and said, Joshua, it's time to cross over the Jordan River. Moses is dead. And he said to Joshua, have not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Fear thou not, neither be thou dismayed. I'm with thee whithersoever thou goest. Yes, greater things seen in 2015. What about Ruth? Don't you want to have a commitment like Ruth did? Ruth made that great statement, thy people should be my people and thy God shall be my God. Oh yeah, even though she was a Moabite, she left Moab and went to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Oh yes, greater things seen in 2015. And then what about David? David had a heart for God. Don't you want to have a heart for God? Don't you want to have a heartbeat after the Lord? Remember in Psalm 42, David said, as a deer pants after water at a brook, so may my soul pant after thee, O God. How about wisdom? Solomon had wisdom. How many want more wisdom in 2015? Come on, talk to me. Yes, greater things seen in 2015. Esther had purpose. Don't you want to have purpose in 2015? Do you want to just go in 2015 and wander aimlessly? Don't you want to know the will of God and follow the will of God? Well, Esther, Mordecai, her adopted father, said to Esther, remember when she was to appear before the king in intercession for the Jewish people? Remember what Mordecai said? He says, who knows where thou art come to the kingdom such a time as this? God, give us purpose in 2015. Greater things seen in 2015. How many want to have the character of Daniel? Daniel, oh yes, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat nor the king's wine. Yeah, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true, dare to make it known. How many believe that character still counts? Talk to me. Oh, yes, it does. God, give us some men and women with character in 2015, especially when it comes to leadership. Well, what about Habakkuk? How many want a new vision for 2015? Habakkuk was told, write the vision, make it plain, that they that read it may run with it. And though it tarry, it will surely come to pass. Oh yeah, God, give us your vision for my life and for your church and for my family and for my finances and for my job and for my future. Well, Sir, what about Ezekiel? How many want to intercede in 2015 like Ezekiel? The Word of God says that Ezekiel said, I sought for a man. And Ezekiel 22 and 30, I sought for a man who'd make up the hedge and intercede, stand in the gap, and I could not find one. Oh yes, greater things seen in 2015. What about Jonah? You want direction for your life? Remember Jonah, the prejudiced prophet, chapter 1. Remember Jonah, the praying prophet, chapter 2. Remember Jonah, the preaching prophet, chapter 3. And then chapter 4, the pouting prophet. Oh, God gave him direction. Do you know what Jonah's message was? 8 words. That was it. 8 words. Yet in 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. Oh, yeah. God give us direction like you did Jonah. What about Paul? And what about Peter? And what about James? How many want greater things seen in 2015? It was Paul that said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Always bearing about the dying of the body of our Lord Jesus. Oh yeah, it was Paul who wrote in Romans 5 and verse 3, tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh character, and character experience worketh hope. Hope that's not ashamed. How about it? You know, if we're going into 2015, we can expect some trials. Somebody needs to understand. Oh, greater things seen in 2015. It was James who said in James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3, consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials. Watch this. Knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. Oh, yes. It was Peter that wrote. Remember Peter writing to the crowd, the Jews over in Bithynia and over in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, going through some troubles and trials, suffering like much has happened today. Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as some strange thing that happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of God's suffering. Oh yes, he said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 following. Yes, Lord, greater things seen in 2015. But you know what, beloved? I've got a feeling. How about this past Christmas? You enjoy the time with your family? Can I ask you a question? How many like to eat? Let me see your hand. You like to eat? Come on now, y'all are lying if you're not raising your hand. You know you love to eat. I've seen you at the table. What would it be like, beloved, if you went to the table, something you really like? What's something you really like to eat? I mean, you really like it. You really like it. I was with a friend not long ago, and yeah, I believe it was Brother Bill, and he said he really liked sweet potatoes. I believe that was what he said. What would it be like to go to the kitchen table? You got your favorite meal there, and you take a little old spoon like this, and all you want is a little spoonful. Why, that's crazy. You wouldn't take a spoon to the table. You'd take a bowl. Man, you'd put that whatever you like in a bowl. You wouldn't just take a little spoonful and take it and say, that's all I want. You'd fill that bowl up. This past Christmas, Deanna, I was able to fix some of those good old collard greens. How many like good old collard greens? Brother, I filled that bowl up and ate a bowl full. I didn't want just a little spoonful. I wanted a bowl full. Can I tell you something? It seems like in this day, a lot of people just want a spoonful of God. They don't really want a bowl full of God. You want more than a spoonful of God? Don't you want a little bit more faith? There's a lot of people today that just want a spoonful of faith. They just want a spoonful of the Bible. They don't really want a bowl of the Bible. They don't want to really get in the Word. They'd rather just have a little old spoonful of God, a little spoonful of the Word, a little spoonful of Holy Ghost power. Oh, God says, you want me, you can seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart. But speaking of eating, I've got a remedy for losing weight. Don't raise your hand. How many want to lose weight? Don't raise your hand. I've got something that'll guarantee to work. It'll work. No pills, no diet, and no exercise. Guaranteed to work. Guaranteed to work. No pills, no exercise, and no dieting. You lose weight. Guaranteed to work. You know what it is? A spoon with a hole in it. Guaranteed to work. A fork that's cut off. And a knife that's cut off. Guaranteed to work. lose weight real fast, all right? Hey, look, greater things seen in 2015. Here's where we're going in the message today. If you really want to see greater things seen in 2015, I want you to know that God wants to challenge us today in three particular challenges. Number one, greater spiritual possessions in 2015. Number two, greater grace over oppression in 2015. And number three, greater preparation in 2015. I want to invite you to take God's word. We've been in the word, but let's get a little further in the word as we launch out in the message of greater things seen in 2015. Look with me, please, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Just one verse we're going to start, and then we're going to move from there, so you might as well get your pen out and paper and start writing. I believe we don't need a spoonful of the Bible. We need a bowl full of the Word of God. We need a plate full of the Word of God. It's God's Word that gets the job done. If you'd like to stand with me, would you stand as we read the infallible, inerrant, wonderful, unbreakable, eternal Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul's writing this epistle. And you remember the theme, I find it very interesting, beloved, that Paul is writing to the believers, and he tells them their position in Christ, and then he tells them, because of their position in Christ, that their practicality of fleshing out the Christian life is through Christ. First we're in Christ, then it's through Christ, and then finally, concluding in this wonderful epistle that's six chapters, he tells us that not only our position in Christ and our practicality of fleshing out the Christian life, not I but Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then he tells us our participation with Christ over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians 1:3, if you're there, say amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He hath blessed us. Past tense, aorist tense, present tense. He hath blessed us. I want you to get that, beloved. He has blessed us. I want to read it one more time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. That is, he's already blessed us. That is, he's placed us in Christ when we've been redeemed by the blood and justified by the blood and come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Hallelujah. God takes us out of Adam and places us into his own dearly beloved Son, and we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's dear Son. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. My prayer is God will open our eyes today to see greater things seen in 2015. Our Father, I thank you now. The Word of God is life-giving power. And our Father, we confess we're helpless. We're needy today. Needing revelation. Needing wisdom. Needing understanding. Needing impartation of life from above. Oh, Spirit of God divine, reveal your will. Reveal your word. Reveal your glory. Oh, God, we confess we want more than a spoonful. We want, Lord, I can't take very much, but I pray you'll fill up my cup today. You'll fill up our cup today. You'll, God, help us to press forward. If you tarry, Jesus, to see greater things, you said, Lord Jesus, greater things shall you do because than what I do because I go to the Father. I don't fully understand that, precious Lord, but it sure sounds good to me how you gave us your Holy Spirit. You gave us power. I pray, God, you'll break the chains of oppression and depression and guilt and condemnation, and Father, every besetting sin, every secret sin, all the things that weigh us down, give us grace, Lord Jesus, to run the race looking to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. We pray for homes and daddies and mamas and young people and grandchildren and our community. Oh God, send a mighty Holy Ghost revival. Lord, as we see the rain that falls to the earth, you said in Isaiah 55:10, as the rain falls to the earth, it has its purpose. It will not return void. And so likewise, your word, dear God, is going to bring forth the fruit. I want to praise you today for the fruit that's going to be born for your glory. We love you, Lord, and bless you, Jesus, and worship you. It's all about you. And we pray, feed us from heaven's table. Change lives, save the lost, revive the saved. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Hey! Greater things seen in 2015. Number one, the first place, the challenge that God gives us from His Word is this. Let me just put it in question form. How many believe that spiritual possessions are more important than material possessions? Oh, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Oh, wait a minute, Brother Pastor. Really? Yeah, that's exactly right. Why you say that? Because, you see, the Bible teaches that when we have spiritual possessions in Christ, it's something that cannot be taken away. I realize we can lose our peace. I realize those things. But do you know, beloved, do you realize Paul said, put off the old man, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Do you realize, according to statistics, how many enjoyed Christmas this past Thursday? I enjoyed it. But you know what, beloved? According to statistics, Christmas toys, are you ready for these young people that got toys or gifts? By March the 1st, most of the toys are broken. By March the 1st. Really? Those possessions? Yeah, they're broken. They're torn up by March the 1st. Wait a minute. I can remember coming up as a boy. It wasn't March the 1st when our toys were broken. It was Christmas night. Somebody say amen. Man, it didn't last past Christmas. We played that thing and wore it out. And man, it just didn't hardly last. But I want you to know there's something that's going to last forever. Thank God the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Thanks be to God. We've got an inheritance in Christ that does not fade away. Hey, spiritual possessions are more important than material possessions. Now, there's nothing wrong with material possessions. Somebody say amen. Hey, I set you up for that. Really, if God blesses you, hallelujah, rejoice in it. Be a blessing to somebody. But wait a minute. How many know we can't put our trust in the possessions, material possessions? Our trust has got to be in the Lord. Our trust has got to be in Him. He's our rock and He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. But let me tell you this. Case in point, what happened this past week. Spiritual possessions do not wear out like material possessions. And spiritual possessions lead to spiritual blessings. Can I tell you something that happened on Christmas Eve right here? I was here at Christmas Eve. It was in the afternoon about 4 o'clock. A man drove up in the parking lot. He said, Pastor. And I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know anybody that's in need right now? I said, you're looking at him. Kidding, I didn't say that, but I felt like it. I was about like that preacher that when they got a call that time, and the man said on the other line, said, Preacher, my dog, my old faithful dog Roscoe, has kicked the can. He's kicked the bucket. He's died. He said, Preacher, will you preach his funeral? The preacher said, What? Your dog has died, and you want me to preach the funeral? And then the man said, Well, I'm sorry, sir. Whoever preaches old Roscoe's funeral, I was going to donate $25,000 to the church. The preacher said, Well, why didn't you tell me old Roscoe was a Baptist? Anyway, this man came up in the parking lot, and he said to me, he said, Preacher, Pastor, do you know anybody that has a need in the community? I said, Well, I think I do. I said, let me think for a moment. Let me just pause for a moment. And I began to think of several families that I thought perhaps might be in need, and quickly made a couple of calls. And anyway, a long story short, I said, yes, I think I know of a family that's got a need. I can't call them, but I want you to follow me. And so we made our way on Christmas Eve about 4 o'clock, 4:30. We made our way in our community. I'm not going to tell you where we went, but anyway, it was a little ways from the church. And we drove up to this house, and I got out of the car, And I went up to the door and saw a couple of cars there, and I knocked on the door, and it wasn't very long after that they opened the door and I said, "Come in." And I looked around, and children were ripping open their presents, and they were happy and joyful, and they were excited, and everybody was having a good time. And I looked over at the house, and I said, "Can I speak with you to the lady of the house, that is the mama of the house, the grandmother of the house?" And a young man, I said, "Can I speak to you?" So I called him outside, and we stood outside for a little while. And I said, I asked him, I said, "Well, you know, I don't know how to ask you this. I don't know how to say this to you, but the Lord's put you in my heart. I just wonder if you've got some certain needs and maybe need to be blessed and could use a blessing today." And so as I stood out in the parking lot, tears began to stream down her eyes. God be my witness, she began to break and say, "You wouldn't believe this, but my husband is going through chemotherapy." It's not Brother Bill Bailey, by the way. But she said, "My husband's going through chemotherapy, and they really don't give him but a few months to live." And she said, "This is probably going to be my last Christmas with my husband." And she began to get emotional as she began to say that. And I said, "Well, you know what? God wants to bless us sometimes. Greater things seen in 2015. And God be my witness, as we stood out in the parking lot, we held hands, and the individual, who does not want to be named, said, "Here, I want to give you this gift," and handed her a considerable gift to bless her. Well, needless to say, she was overwhelmed with joy. Emotions flooded her soul. She just was overcome by the goodness of God and the precious provisions God had made. How many believe that God is good all the time? God is good all the time. He knows your need. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly where you're at today. Oh, yes. Spiritual possessions do not wear out like cars and trucks and houses and wash machines and these old bodies are wearing out. Paul said, "Our outer man's perishing, but our inner man's being renewed day by day." One of these days we're going to have a brand new body. Isn't that good news? Yes, a brand new body. And we're going to go to a place that does not wear out. A place where rust and moth does not decay. A place whose builder and maker is God. The city that lieth four square, as described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And I say to you that material, spiritual blessings, not like material blessings that wear out. Rather, they're blessings and continue to be blessings. Don't you want to be a blessing this Christmas? Number two, there's a second challenge that God wants to give us through His wonderful word. And it's not only greater things seen in 2015, greater spiritual possessions in 2015. I don't know about you, but I want greater spiritual possessions. How many say today, "Brother Pastor, I need fresh oil to carry on in my ministry"? That is God's ministry. I need fresh oil to teach. I need fresh oil to preach. I need fresh oil to love. I need fresh oil, Lord. Psalm 92 says God will give us fresh oil if you ask, if you trust. How many today would say, "Pastor, I need some of those spiritual possessions you're talking about in 2015. What are you talking about? How about how many could say, "I need some rest from worrying. I'm finding myself full of anxiety. I'm finding myself not resting and not really in a state of trust and a state of rest and a state whereby I'm at ease knowing God is in control and that God has my best interest in mind and that God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth and that God does not sleep or slumber and that underneath me are His everlasting arms and above me is His all-seeing eye and before me is His sure footing." How many would say, "Pastor, I need some of those spiritual blessings you're talking about. Not only rest in the Lord, not only fresh vision, but how many would say, my attitude hadn't been really right lately. I've been complaining. I've been bellyaching about this, and I've been negative about this, and I'm praying, God, that greater things in 2015 will be a attitude of gratitude. No wonder Paul wrote and said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's say that together. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything give thanks. One more time, sit with me. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many know that it's daily God's loading us with benefits? Psalm 68, 19 says God daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh yes, those are the kind of blessings, Lord, we need. Number two, there's a second challenge God wants to give us today. If we're going to see greater things seen in 2015, greater spiritual possessions in 2015, how about greater grace over oppression in 2015? Where did I find that in the text? If we were to search over there in Ephesians chapter 4, you'd find out that Paul says in verse 22 through 34, put off the old man and put on the new man which is created in righteousness and true holiness. Then you'd find out in verse 26 following of chapter 4 of Ephesians, Holy Ghost led Paul to say, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Then he said, in verse 31 through 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Here's the bottom line. How many of you know, listen to me, how many of you know that we need God to forgive us usually on a daily basis? How many know in the coming year, maybe today, there's some people we need to forgive. There's some people we're having a hard time loving. There's some people we need to love and forgive. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Greater things seen in 2015. You mean I could get a closer walk with God if I confess my sins? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. John says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, plural, not just sin as in God forgive me my sin, name it. Sins, plural. If we confess, the word confess there is the word homologamon, which means to say the same thing that God says. It means to agree with God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, watch this, to forgive us our sins. That word forgive and cleanse in verse 7, katharizai means to wipe the slate clean. Aren't you glad that God wipes the slate clean? Aren't you glad? I don't know about y'all, but sometimes we have these sins of omission and we had these sins of commission. And sometimes, like David said in Psalm 19, keep back thy servant from secret sins and keep thy servant from presumptuous sins. What am I talking about? I'm talking about he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what James says in James chapter 4 and verse 17. Sin is transgression of the law of God. Here's the bottom line. Wait a minute. If I want to be in fellowship with God, if you want to be in fellowship with God, if we want a greater, more intimate relationship with God, we've got to deal with the sin in our life. I will not be in fellowship. Wait a minute. I hear somebody saying, but brother pastor, I've been saved. Glory, I'm glad. I've tasted the grace of God. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood. Good. The question is not, watch. The question is not sonship. The question is fellowship. Always a son, hallelujah, birthed in the family of God. As many as have received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's John 1 and 12. John 5 and 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Sonship, but not fellowship. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. When we, whether purposely or unintentional, when we take our eyes off Jesus, when we have wrong attitudes, when we do something that dishonors the Lord, watch. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. By the way, the word grieve there is the word in the language, Greek language, lupio. The word lupio, grieve, means to offend. It means to hurt. Tell me, have you hurt the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's our friend. Had there been some things to happen to you over the last few days with your family, Christmas, and you just aren't settled, you just don't have peace, today you can settle that thing. Greater things seen in 2:15. Why? Because we don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't pour water on the fire. Well, we need to confess our sins. We need to say, Lord, I want greater things in 2015. Greater things seen in 2015. Can I tell you something? Oh my, it's difficult to be honest with God about where we're at. It's difficult to be honest with ourselves and say, God, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Not only do we need to be forgiven. But wait a minute. I'm preaching to some people today. I just believe God put this in my heart. If you're honest with God, there's some folks we need to forgive. I said there's some people we need to forgive. We cover it up. We camouflage it. We learn to deal with it. We suppress it and all that stuff. But God says, and look, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What's that word forgiveness mean? It means, watch this, to release. Release the hurt or pain. Release the hurt or pain. How many got somebody you need to forgive? It might be a friend. It might be a family member. They didn't come. They should have come. They didn't come. They should have done this. They shouldn't have done this. We got together at Christmas. They didn't act like they were thankful. Words were said. Things happened. I don't know what went on in your family, but I can tell you, most all families are facing these things today. As a matter of fact, having the privilege, I was thinking about traveling over to Trinidad, the island of Trinidad, preaching a message on forgiveness. And the folks in Trinidad need to hear that God forgives and we need to forgive. And then I thought about going over into the jungles, the rainforest of Guyana, out in the near Venezuela, where only a boat access. Those folks there, though they're living by the river, they still need to hear about forgiveness. I thought about over in Honduras and Nicaragua, going there and sharing the message of forgiveness, and how those folks in Honduras and Nicaragua need forgiveness. I thought about traveling 1993 up in the mountains of Philippines, and I thought about where no white man had ever been seen. Those folks there received the message of forgiveness and forgive. Can I tell you what happened to me a few weeks ago? Matter of fact, I'll tell you the date, November the 16th. That was a Sunday, just a few Sundays ago, just a few weeks ago. Today's December 28th. November the 16th, just a few weeks ago, had the privilege of being as an extension of Rocky Creek Baptist Church, an extension down preaching the Word of God at a church called Sandy Acres Baptist Church. It's in a town called Altoona. I don't really know if it's Altoona or Eustis or Leesburg. Anyway, it's kind of like where we're at now. Anyway, the bottom line is this. As my Lord put a message on my heart Sunday night to preach on this thing of forgiveness. Why? It's just so common to all of us today. And so I didn't know what was going on in the church at Sand Acres Baptist Church. The pastor hadn't told me anything, but I wanted to be faithful to God, even though I'm not always. But in this case, the Lord gave me grace to obey, preach the message about forgiveness. A man came up to me after the service, actually came to the altar, and the altar was full every service of people getting right with God, people doing business with God, people confessing their sin, people realizing it's not going to be in a revival until we get right with God. And this man came up to me and he said in his name, I'll not tell you his name, but anyway, he's in his upper 70s. Real nice man. He said, Pastor, my wife committed suicide. She wrecked her car and it killed her. He said, I've been angry and mad. I've been remarried since that time. He said, I've taken it out on my wife. And God showed me tonight, I've taken it out on my wife. And I've asked God to forgive me. And I want to go to my wife and ask her to forgive me too. How many know the hardest words to say are, I'm sorry, right? Those are the hardest words to say, I'm sorry. You know the three most important words once you get married about 25 years? You do know the most important words, three most important words? I've told you all this before. And guess what? It's not I love you. It's let's eat out, all right? Let's eat out on the lighter side. But let me tell you what happened. The next day, I did not know what God did in that worship service, but I heard three ladies talking about it the next day. I was in their home with the pastor visiting, praying for a lady, and I heard three of them say, did you see so-and-so was there last night? Another church came. I'm not going to tell you the name of the church, but a church came, a sister church in the community. And the ladies were saying, you see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so? They hadn't spoken in years. Last night, for the first time, they were talking about the worship service on Sunday night. God showed up and God showed out. How many know it takes God to get the job done? And they said for the first time, they spoke for the first time in years. I say to God be the glory. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Oh, forgiveness. We need to forgive and we need to forgive others. Reminded me of the story of the little boy that was looking at a nativity scene. He was looking at a nativity scene. Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, the shepherds, wise men. And he's a little boy and he writes out a letter. He says, Dear Jesus, I'll be a good boy for a whole year if you bring me everything I want for Christmas. Then he thought, he said, nah. He wobbled it up, threw it away. Then he said, I'll write another one. Dear Jesus, I'll be a good boy for 6 months if you bring me everything I need or everything I want for Christmas. Then he tore it up and said, nah. And he looked at the nativity scene. He grabbed Mary out of the nativity scene and he said, Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, number three, greater things seen in 2015. Greater things seen. One, greater spiritual possessions in 2015. Two, greater grace over oppression in 2015. That means being humble. That means being broken. That means forgiving. Number three, and finally, greater preparation in 2015. Greater preparation in 2015. If you'll notice in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 16 through 19, Paul prays a second prayer for the church of Ephesus. He prayed a prayer in verses 15 of chapter 1 through verses 23 of chapter 1, and then he prays another prayer in chapter 3 verses 16. He said that that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his grace, that you might be strengthened by his might in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to understand or to comprehend the height and the depth and the width and the length, and know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's verse 19 of chapter 3. All the fullness. The word fullness there is the word pleroma. The totality of God. Isn't that a great prayer? Isn't that a great prayer for God to pray for us? That Christ might dwell. And that word dwell is oikos, at home. Tell me, is Jesus at home in your heart? Is he at home? Is he an honored host? Not a guest, but a host. But I want to pay attention to verse 20 of chapter 3. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I like that. Don't you like that? Oh, bless God. Greater things seen in 20. Now unto him. Let's just break it down. Now unto him. Who? God. Now unto him. Who? Jesus. Verse 16 through 19. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That means whatever you ask God, he can do a lot more. He's got a lot more than we've got. Oh, bless his holy name. Praise his holy name. And here's where I'm going with this, and we'll be done. How many want to pray in 2015? Lord, increase my faith in 2015. Do you want your faith increased? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? You got to have faith. Not spoonful faith, bowlful faith. Are you going to believe God today? What about that other request the disciples came to Jesus and said? Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Is this your prayer? 2015? Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. Two requests. 2015. God, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. Well, we want to learn to pray. Let's go to the master teacher. Jesus said in Luke 11, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, what servant of friend, if he has another friend to come to him and say, hey, man, I want some bread. And the man says, I don't have any bread. I don't have any. But wait, hold on. I think I can find you some bread. I believe I got a friend down the road. It's 12 o'clock at night, but I'm still going to go down there and see if I can get some bread for you. Hold on right here. Man, they must be asleep. I see no lights are on. Hold on. Lights come on. Honey, who in the world is that idiot knocking on our door at 12 o'clock? I don't know, but I wish he'd leave. Honey, get up and see who that is. We can't sleep. The children are asleep. What in the world are they beating on the door? All right, I'll get up and see who it is. Man comes to the door, he opens the door and says, what do you want? Don't you realize it's 12 o'clock at night? Yes, I do, but I need some bread. I need some bread. I had a friend to come to me and he needs some bread. Will you give me some bread? Well, if that'll get you to stop knocking on the door, I'll get you some bread, all right? And he goes and he gets some bread. Here, take this and leave. Let us go to sleep. We're tired. And he closes the door. And that friend went and gave that other friend some bread. Jesus said, though that man would not get up and give his friend any bread if he just knocks one time, but because he kept knocking and he kept on knocking and he kept on knocking, Jesus said that friend's going to get up and give him what he needs. Jesus taught importunity in prayer. He said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Whosoever asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, he said, what father if his son ask him for bread, will he give him a stone? What father if his son ask him for a fish, will he give him a serpent? What father if his son ask him for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Lord, teach us to pray. I got a feeling today, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We've been busy, haven't we? Nothing wrong with spending family time, but don't neglect the most important thing. Mary chose it at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Martha's busy. Tell me, have you been so busy you hadn't had time to spend the time with the Lord these days? Oh, yes. Teach us to pray, Lord. Help us to pray the prayers of faith. I went to one of our dear beloved's house. Brother Bill Bailey. I visited Brother Bill last night again. Brother Bill's in a hospital bed. Brother Bill is on hospice care. And unless God performs a miracle, it's just going to be a matter of time. I visited Brother Bill on Tuesday. He's confined to his bed at that time, was not able to get up. Bobby said he had not talked or said anything in days. I leaned over as Brother Bill was laboring to breathe. I said, "Brother Bill, it's me, Pastor Randy. Just want to come by to tell you I love you. We'll come by and tell you that I'm praying for you, brother." God be my witness. His eyes opened up. He looked. He pulled up his head. This was on Tuesday. We sat and he whispered. He said, he was laboring to breathe. I got something I want to give you. He said, I got something. I got something I want to give you. I said, "All right, what?" He said, "Our Sunday school class has been taking up money for flowers and people for needs." And he said, "Brother Randy, I want you to take it, give it to Brother Russell, the church." I said, "All right, Brother Bill, I don't normally take money like that, but I believe God will give me the grace to just take it and take it in the bag, bring it to church." Here's a man dying. And he's concerned about other people. He's concerned about his church family. Isn't that a blessing? Fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, the Lord, the righteous judge. He's thinking about other people as he's slipping out into eternity. You're going to expect greater things seen in 2015. Let's stand together.